Welcome to the Yes Mujer Build It podcast, the podcast for ambitious mujeres who are committed to building a business, career, and life they love. I am Master Coach Wendy Amara, and I'm going to teach you the mindset tools and strategy that will help you stay in consistent action so you can build it. Let's get started. Hello, beautiful, powerful mujeres. How are you all? I'm sending you such a big hug. You may have noticed we've started to introduce guests to the podcast, to the Yes Mujer Build It podcast. Yay! I'm excited about that opportunity to get to interview some amazing, powerful mujeres. And I'm also excited to continue to bring you some of my own insights, tools that I've been using for years with my coaching programs, and questions that my clients bring me during inspired action calls or during the mastermind training calls. So first, I want to take a moment today to just sit in gratitude. I have such gratitude for my mastermind students. Oh my God. This last cohort was brilliant, beyond brilliant. And I know it's also because I've been up-leveling myself in my own coaching with my coach, who's been kicking my butt in a really great way, the way coaches are supposed to, right? Asking really deep questions that have me be in an introspective space of what do I really want to build and where do I see myself 5 years from now? You know, what I most want to build with all of you is that all of you learn the technology that I've learned, and then we go out and create the lives we want. We build the businesses we want. We manifest the relationships that we want. We create the money that we want so that we don't have to make decisions from a place of scarcity. We make decisions from a place of feeling full. And by full, I don't mean like necessarily full of money or full of confidence, but full as in fully connected to who we really are, fully connected to the geniuses that we are as Latinas, the genius that lives inside of us, which is where each of our personal power really comes from. That is what I meant to do. I meant to connect you with that personal power. And I'm so excited because this next round of the mastermind has 15 powerful mujeres in it. I can't wait to coach them this week. We're going to start coaching in that container. And it's like the first day of school. I don't know if you remember like your first day of high school or your first day of college. It's that level of excitement for me as the coach to go into this container and teach at the next elevated version. Not only that, but this is going to sound crazy. My mastermind students from before, people who've done a year in the mastermind or longer, have come back to me and are asking for a 2.0 program, a program that is available for alumni of the original mastermind who've already done a year in the mastermind or have done 3 cohorts and are ready for that next level of leadership coaching. So I'm super excited to be creating that, designing that, and then also stepping into who I get to be for those students, who is alive in me right now. I just get to step into this leadership version of Wendy, who my clients haven't really met, haven't really met yet. But everybody will be meeting Leadership Wendy. Okay, what we're going to do today is we're going to do Ask Wendy Anything, right? This is a series that I have on the Yes Mujer Build It podcast because I get really powerful questions. People ask me questions for coaching all the time. And I wanted to bring some here and share some with you. Okay. The first question comes from one of my students in Inspired Action. She asked me on the last Q&A, Wendy, I feel like I never have enough time. The day is done before I can finish everything that's on my to-do list. How do you deal with the lack of time? Yes, this is a question I get all the time regarding how we look at time. And how do we expand time, right? Because most of us are managing multiple things. I know all of my clients are, and if you're listening to this, you're probably listening to it doing something else. You're either going on a walk, or you're driving your kids to school, or you are you know, at the grocery store shopping, or you're doing laundry, you're doing something more than likely, and hearing this in the background, right? We are multitasking all the time. And it's because we have multiple things we're taking care of. We are in relationships, we have kids, and even if you don't, you probably have a business and a side hustle and a regular job and some sort of pet that you're managing also. So there's a lot to manage. Here's my answer to, I never feel like I have enough time. That says more about your relationship with time than it does about time itself. Listen, there's 24 hours in a day. That's it, right? Everybody has the same 24 hours. How we relate to those 24 hours, how we feel about those 24 hours, that's your work. So what are your beliefs around time? Because I think if we got down to the nitty gritty, you probably don't have some positive beliefs around time. I mean, when I ask people, when you think of time, what's the feeling that comes up? Most people think of time and the feeling that comes up is a feeling of anxiety or a feeling of scarcity. Like there's not enough of it. That's what they'll tell me. Like there's not enough of it, which is actually a feeling of scarcity. It's rare for people to have an experience where when I ask them about time, they say to me something like, it's expansive. There's plenty of it. It's like air. It's all around us. Ha. But those are the beliefs that I have about time. Yeah. In fact, I feel like I have more time now than I ever have, even though I'm busier now, quote unquote, busier. What I mean by that is there's just more responsibility now than I've ever had. But I've learned to manage it, right? I've learned to manage that responsibility. It's more about my thoughts and my beliefs about the responsibility and the time, and less about the actual doing of what I get done during that time. So first, I would ask you, what are your beliefs around time? And how do you develop a relationship with time that's going to serve you? What is the belief you would like to have around time that would better serve you, that would better lead to the results that you want to create? Because if you're thinking of time as scarce, there's never enough of it, or if time is something that creates anxiety and stress in you all the time, chances are you're not going to build a great relationship with it. So sometimes the question I ask people is, if time was a person, how would you describe the relationship that you currently have with it? And then I'll ask, if time was a person, describe the kind of relationship you would like to have with it, right? And the kind of relationship that people want to have, if time was a person, is a respectful, trusting relationship where you can count on each other. Yes. How do you build that? That's usually the next question, right? If I want to have a trusting relationship with time where I feel like there's enough of it, how do I build that? Well, here's a simple way to start building it, a really simple way. Put something on your calendar that you're going to get done, that you're 100% committed to getting done at a particular time. One thing. Do not put 10 things. Just one thing that you're committed to getting done at a particular time that's going to require you to slow down and look at your watch or look at the clock or the time on your cell phone and actually get it done at that time. And then here's the hard part for most of us. Then you actually have to get it done. Actually go and get that thing done at that time. Do the thing. So it could be, I'm going to go on a walk tomorrow at 12 noon. Great. Stop what you're doing. Go on the walk at 12 noon. I'm going to pack my lunch in the morning so I have a healthy lunch for work. Great. Take time in the morning to pack that lunch. Not something that you normally do. Add something or bring something into your schedule that you wouldn't normally do. Because if you're going to tell me, well, I'm going to make it to work tomorrow on time, and you always make it to work tomorrow on time, then it's not an exercise in building your relationship with time. When you follow through with something that is on your calendar at a particular time, what do you think the message is that you're giving time? Think about that. When you follow through with something and you actually are your word, meaning you do the thing that you said you were going to do at the time you said you were going to do it, what kind of relationship are you building with time? You're actually building a trusting, respectful relationship, right? Where you know you can count on time and time knows it can count on you. How cool is that? That's the kind of relationship you want to have with time. So that's the kind of relationship you want to start moving and building. And how do you do that? You do it by scheduling something and then actually doing the thing that you scheduled. Now, here's the third part of this. So one, you got to schedule it in. Two, you got to follow through. And then three, you get to celebrate that you did it. The third part is really important. Celebrate that you did it, because when you actually follow through and you celebrate yourself, you are giving a message to your brain, right? This is the neuroplasticity part. This is the part where the neurons connect in a stronger capacity, because you are celebrating the fact that you followed through with something at a particular time. And you're solidifying in that moment your relationship with time, which is really cool. That is the work. The more often you do that, the better relationship you'll have with time. That's the starting point. We can expand as you move into more advanced versions of it. But definitely, if you feel like you don't have enough time, I would spend some time looking at what are my beliefs around time, because chances are they're not serving you and you can come up with better beliefs. And who's responsible for your beliefs? You. You can change them. Yes. Like, I believe time is my best friend. She works for me. And we have a great time together. She expands when I need her to expand. She contracts when I need her to contract. I'm really blessed with her. And she's always there. She always seems to be around, whether I want her there or not. So I've decided I'm going to have a really great relationship with her. And that's it. Yeah. I used to do exercises where I would have you name time and have you actually build a relationship with it, draw it out and all that. If that's helpful for you, you're welcome to do that too. Okay. That was question number one. Let me move on to question number two. Now, question number two actually came to me during an introduction call with someone who I met at an event. She heard me speak at an event and she wanted to know more about my programs. So she signed up for an introduction call. We talked about her building her business. Here's the question she asked me. The question she asked me is, why is it hard to stay motivated? I can't seem to stay motivated. I'm trying to build this business and there are days where I'm on fire. And then there's other days where it's really hard for me to keep up with everything that I have to do. And I just don't feel motivated, even though I like what I'm doing. I just don't feel motivated. Okay. Here is my answer around motivation. Motivation is actually BS. Yeah, it's bullshit. It's not going to be consistent in your life. So let me just give you the hard truth. You're not going to be consistently motivated. It's impossible to be consistently motivated all the freaking time. Nobody is. The people who seem to be consistently motivated, like the people who are always working out at the gym or those people, you know what they are? They're disciplined. That's different than motivation. Discipline means they've gotten themselves into a routine, right? They're routined about showing up at the gym. They're not necessarily motivated to work out every day. And if you don't believe me, please stop one of them and ask them, are you motivated to work out every day? Do you feel motivated? I love what I do as a coach, and I'm still not motivated to coach every day. I don't feel like coaching all the time. My feelings, like motivation, come and go a lot. Right? I mean, I feel motivated if I watch a certain movie or I hear a certain song, but then if I hear another song, I feel sad and depressed, and then I don't feel motivated anymore. So motivation is not what you're searching for. You're not going to stay motivated forever to build your business or stay motivated to build your career. Motivation is going to ebb and flow in your life. Yeah. But chances are there are other things that will be constant that you can rely on. For example, whatever the vision is behind the project you started or the business you started, whatever the love is, the reason, your why behind your business, that is probably still constant. Meaning, it's probably still there, right? The reason you love your business. If that reason is still there, that is something you can tap into. That is something that you can stay connected to, the mission of your business, the why of your business, the vision behind why you started it. That you can connect to on a regular basis. That will shift your feelings. It will shift the energy flow. You can pull inspiration, energy, sometimes even motivation from that place. Not always, but you can definitely stay connected to that vision. So there's two parts to this answer. Number one is a shift in the way you're looking at things like motivation, right? Because a part of your brain is telling you, I have to be motivated all the time. And that's how successful people succeed, is by being motivated all the time. No. I am a successful person, but I am a quasi-successful person. Because if you compare me to some of the rooms that I'm in, I'm like the least successful person in a $20 million room, right? So, and it depends on how you define success also, right? But it, for my own interpretation, 2024 Wendy compared to 1994 Wendy is certainly successful. For my own idea of success, I've created everything that I wanted to create in my life up until now. I am not motivated all the time. This idea that successful people become successful because they're motivated, no. I am connected to my vision on a regular basis. I'm connected to the passion behind why I became a coach. But more than that, what I've built is a muscle of commitment. I'm committed. I'm committed to my clients. I'm committed to my business. I'm committed to my kids. I'm committed to my family. I'm committed to this life that I've created. That is what I lean on more often than motivation. Motivation definitely comes and goes. I'm not always motivated. I'm not always motivated to do public speaking. I'm not always motivated to get on the next podcast interview. Motivation is up and down, the ebb and flow of life. But my vision, right? The why, that's still there. That's still there. And there's other things that have changed in my life also, by the way. Your vision can change. Your mission behind something can change. Your why can change. It can start to shift in a lot of ways. So it just depends on where you're at. But I would start looking at what else can fuel me so that I continue to stay active, so that I continue to move into action. Okay, that is question number two. Thank you so much. We're going to move on to question number three. Question number three comes from somebody else in my Inspired Action group coaching program from one of the pods. Her question slash comment was, there's a difficult conversation I've been needing to have for a long time, and I've been avoiding it. Why is it so difficult to have these kinds of conversations when you need to confront someone? Why do we tend to avoid it so much? And why does it then become worse? Yes, this is a great question about avoiding confrontation, avoiding difficult questions. I should do a whole podcast just on having difficult conversations, because I think a lot of us need to have them. And certainly a lot of us need to learn the skill set to have positive outcomes from difficult conversations. So why do we avoid difficult conversations? Because they're uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable. And the human brain tells us if we're going to be uncomfortable, we're going to die, right? And what I mean by that is the human brain's trying to keep you safe. Anything that feels too outside of your comfort box is going to feel too scary, too big of a risk, and then you might end up dying. So no, you're not going to die if you have a difficult conversation, but you avoid it like the plague because of all the feelings that come up, the uncomfortableness, the anxiety, the stress. You might hurt somebody's feelings. Somebody might cry. Somebody might have an emotional breakdown. What are you going to do with all that, right? And all those thoughts and all those feelings create more stress and more anxiety. So you avoid it. But if you're living life, things are not always going to go as planned. So for sure, you're going to need to have difficult conversations. In fact, it's part of adulting, I think. It's part of being a responsible adult, is learning how to have these difficult conversations. Okay, so number one is there are ways to have these conversations. There are steps that you can follow. There are procedures that you can follow that make the conversations go smoother, that can make the conversations actually easier for you. And then, number two, there's some self-management tools that will help you to manage who you need to be during these conversations. And if you remember this from the episode on Be, Do, Have, who you need to be, your beingness, comes from these five aspects of you. It comes from your thoughts, from your feelings, from your beliefs, especially your beliefs about yourself, from your intentions, which is important for conversations, right? And then from the frequency at which you're vibrating at, or your energy. Those five aspects to you, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your intentions, your frequency are 100% in your control. And you get to decide what thoughts you want to have about this conversation, what feelings you want to have around it, what beliefs, what intentions you want to have, what frequency. That is up to you. So let's start with number one. What are some aspects to having difficult conversations that make them easier, right? What's kind of a map that you can follow, or an instructions list that you can follow? When you're going to have a difficult conversation, the first thing you want to have is clarity. What is the goal of the conversation? Is the goal to inform someone of something? Is the goal of the conversation to try to change someone's behavior? Are you having a difficult conversation because you want to let somebody know XYZ wasn't okay with me and I want you to behave in this way instead? Is it to land some sort of feedback, meaning you're going to share with them an experience you had and you want it to resonate with them? Yeah, because informing somebody is different than having it resonate with them. Dun, dun, dun. So what is the purpose of your conversation? Oftentimes, the purpose of the conversation is just to inform somebody. And sometimes when we dig in deep, when I'm with a coaching client and we go through this process of, well, what's your purpose in having this conversation? What would success look like in this conversation? We realize through that process that they really just want to get something off their own chest, and that it doesn't necessarily need to be said to the person because it's their own stuff, meaning they start to take ownership over how they're feeling, right? Who's in charge of your feelings? You are. And if you start to take ownership over it, you realize fairly quickly that you don't even need to talk to the other person, that it's really you talking to yourself. Or sometimes you do want to tell the other person because you want to let them know that this is part of your process that you're going through. Okay, so first thing you want to have is clarity, clear intention as to what it is you are doing, a very clear intention about what you are creating in that conversation with the person. What is your intention? What do you want to have happen in the conversation? Step one. Okay, step two, you want to start the conversation with your intention. You want to say, the intention of this conversation is to give you some information. And if you're nervous, you can say that. You can say, I'm nervous in sharing this information, or I'm anxious about having this conversation with you. In fact, the more you talk about your feelings, the less power they have over you, because now you've called them out. And so they're out in the world. And this other person is experiencing you being vulnerable. You're talking about your feelings. So now they can hear what you're saying and they can take in what you're saying. They might even share with you that they're feeling nervous also, or that they are feeling uncomfortable also. And that would be really valuable for them too. Okay, so then you want to actually deliver the news, or give the feedback, or share the information that you wanted to share with them, right? And there's some ways to do that. If you're sharing really difficult information, you might want to start with the positive first and then deliver the negative information and then end with something that is positive. We call it the sandwich, meaning a piece of bread that says something that is somewhat positive so the person can hear an opening, and then you deliver the news, and then you end with something that is still in the positive. So with one client in particular that I'm thinking about, they were going through a transition, and so they wanted to share that they were not going to be working at the company anymore. And they started with, it's been such a joy being here. I've loved working side by side with each of you. We've built this beautiful company together. And then the middle part of that sandwich, the meat part, was, I've decided I'm going to be leaving the company because it's not in alignment with where I'm headed anymore in life. I'm choosing XYZ and I'm moving in that direction. And then they ended with, but I have found 10 other candidates who would be great for this position. I've even talked to some of them and I can definitely make some recommendations, and I'm going to stay here through the transition for another 6 months. That is an example of the sandwich method, right? Where we say something positive, then we deliver the news, and then we end with something positive. So usually the sandwich methodology really helps people calm their nervous system down and feel a little bit more like, oh, okay, I could do this. Yes, you can do this. You can absolutely have the difficult conversations. So don't wait to have the difficult conversations, because if you do, it does get heavier. The conversation gets heavier. It becomes more and more like an anxiety in the back of your mind. Have the conversations as soon as possible. Decide who you need to be. What are the beliefs you need to have about yourself when you go into this conversation? What is the energy you want to be in? What is the feeling tone you want to be in? And follow the steps. Be clear on your intention, state your intention, and then follow the sandwich method or whatever methodology you'd like to deliver the information. But the sooner you have it, the sooner you can get to the other side of having the difficult conversation. Okay, guys, those are the three questions that I got this week for Ask Wendy Anything. Yes. Please continue to turn in questions. You can definitely ask me during Q&A if you're in Inspired Action. You can ask me questions also in the Mastermind. But if you are a listener and you are not in any of my programs and you want to ask me a coaching question, I will actually take those questions also. All you need to do is email me at hello@wendyamara.com. So again, it's hello@wendyamara.com. Any coaching questions that you have, please email me at that address. You can ask me questions around something that's challenging you. You can ask me about a decision you're stuck with or trying to make. You can even ask me in regards to your mindset or managing your own behavior, your own thoughts, your own feelings. How do you get to a place where you can start to manage that more? I can support you with all of that. That is my purpose in doing this podcast, is to support all of you in learning these same tools that were taught to me years ago, that I've become an expert at now, and that actually work. They work for your life. You can actually produce massive results in your life by learning to manage yourself. Yes, who you're being is more important than the doing part. And your human brain is going to automatically go to the doing. So you have to learn to manage it. You have to learn to slow it down enough to ask yourself, well, who do I need to be in this situation? What are the thoughts, feelings, beliefs, right? Intentions that I have in these like difficult conversations, for example. And what is the frequency that I want to be vibrating at? Because whether you know it or not, you are vibrating at a frequency. All right. I'll catch you all on the next episode of the Yes Mujer Build It podcast. So much love to you guys. This is your reminder, Mujer, that you can absolutely build it. You can build the business that you want. You can build the career that you want. You can build yourself into the person that makes all of that happen. And it requires learning how to manage your human brain, learning how to dance with your emotions, and learning how to stay in consistent action, which is exactly what I teach in Inspired Action, my group coaching program. Join us today for accountability, support, community, entrepreneurship, strategy, and actually learning how to implement the mindset tools that I talk about here. Go to wendyamara.com and click on Inspired Action to learn more. You can also follow me on Instagram at wendyamara to stay up to date on my latest offerings. Don't forget, Mujer, that if you really want to learn to swim, you have to get in the water. So come take action with us. We get in the water every single week. I'll see you on the next Yes, Mujer, Build It.